It's Friday, April 10th. Today, the ceasefire with Iran comes with a massive surcharge, and the AI industry is moving from parlor tricks to actually doing your job for you. Plus, the Kentucky Derby field is looking like a literal hospital ward. Let's get into it. The biggest story this morning is the fragile ceasefire between the U.S. and Iran. Here is what actually happened. After weeks of escalation, both sides have agreed to a formal pause in hostilities to allow for high-level negotiations in Islamabad. Markets reacted immediately, with Brent crude prices dipping and S&P futures ticking up the moment the news broke. But here's the thing. While the missiles have stopped flying for now, the peace is incredibly expensive. Iran is reportedly leveraging its control over the Strait of Hormuz to extract concessions that effectively keep oil prices anchored around $80 a barrel. If you're wondering why your gas prices aren't plummeting despite the peace news, that's why. This isn't just a localized tax, it's a systemic inflationary shock. Estimates suggest the average household could see monthly expenses climb by $300 to $450 if these energy costs bleed into manufacturing and consumer goods. This puts the Federal Reserve in a hell of a spot. They're staring at a choice between fighting this energy-driven inflation or protecting a labor market that is already looking shaky. Keep an eye on unemployment insurance claims. If those hit a four-week average of 250,000, we are officially on a recessionary path. The political side of this is just as messy. President Trump's approach to these negotiations has been described by insiders as erratic. According to reporting from the Ezra Klein Show, the president at one point mistook Lebanon for being a direct party to the Iran ceasefire agreement. His own advisors are leaking to the press, trying to distance themselves from decision-making they claim nearly collapsed the deal before it started. Meanwhile, Vice President J.D. Vance is headed to Pakistan to lead the next round of talks. It's a strange dynamic. Vance is essentially trying to manage the fallout of a conflict his administration has been steering since day one. Not for nothing, but peace shouldn't feel this much like a shakedown. While the diplomats talk, the AI industry is busy trying to automate the people who write the checks. We're moving from the look-what-it-can-say phase to the look-what-it-can-actually-do phase. Meta is back in the race with a new push into multimodal reasoning. They're building models specifically for personal agents, with the goal of baking them into WhatsApp and Instagram so your AI assistant can actually see and understand your world. While they might trail GPT-4 in raw coding benchmarks, Meta is winning on visual comprehension. Meanwhile, the gap between US and Chinese labs is closing. Jipu AI recently demonstrated their latest GLM model, building a Linux desktop over 8 hours with almost no human help. It shows you don't need the most restricted, expensive hardware to handle autonomous tasks. Anthropic is also leaning into the agent trend. They've launched a platform for businesses to deploy AI agents at scale, moving away from simple task automation towards staffing the agent for things like automated bug patching. But they're also hitting some friction. They are currently navigating a supply chain risk designation from the Pentagon, which highlights the growing tension between fast-moving AI startups and national security gatekeeping. Anthropic also recently teased new capabilities in identifying software vulnerabilities. They're framing this as a defensive tool, but they're keeping it behind a velvet rope for elite partners. Honestly, it smells a bit like a marketing play. Positioning yourself as the only one who can fix the massive security holes your own AI discovered is a hell of a way to boost a valuation before a potential IPO. If you're looking for a gamble that isn't tied to a silicon chip, the horse racing world is currently offering plenty of chaos. The road to this year's Kentucky Derby is looking a lot like a demolition derby. Several once prominent contenders have been sidelined by injuries, leaving the field in total flux. According to recent reports, this vacuum has pushed a horse named Renegade to the top as the futures pool favorite. Further ado also moved to the front of the pack after a win in the Bluegrass Stakes. Now, there was some confusion earlier about the horse Fierceness. While he's a massive talent, he didn't actually run in the Bluegrass. He's been prepping elsewhere. But even with the top contenders, the pros are split. Irad Ortiz Jr., one of the best jockeys in the game, reportedly chose to ride Renegade over other top options for the Derby. When the guy with the best seat in the house switches horses, you usually want to pay attention. The dirt purist era of horse racing feels like it's dying a slow death anyway, with international runners and synthetic track specialists messing up the old-school handicapping books. Speaking of rules being rewritten, the NCAA is trying to stop the bleeding by actually setting some ground rules for once. The organization is considering a total overhaul of athlete eligibility. According to the Sports Gambling Podcast, they want to implement a hard 5-year window that starts either on an athlete's 19th birthday or their high school graduation. The goal here is stability. Between the transfer portal and NIL deals, the NCAA has been getting hammered by legal challenges. This is a strategic retreat into bureaucracy. They're betting that if they standardize the clock, they can stop athletes from prolonging their college careers just to milk NIL money. But it's not all spreadsheets. There's a messier story involving reporter Diana Rossini and former Titans coach Mike Vrabel. The Sports Gambling Podcast reported on an alleged personal relationship between the two, which has prompted a skeptical look back at Rossini's previous reporting. Look, this isn't just tabloid shit. If a reporter's scoops are being shaped by a personal relationship with a coach, that's a massive conflict of interest. When the lines get this blurry, the integrity of the information goes out the window. Finally, a few quick hits. In the business world, Eli Lilly is facing a reality check. According to preliminary market data, low-cost generic versions of semaglutide, the stuff in Ozempic, have exploded in India, capturing significant market share in just months. It's a vertical drop for the big pharma giants who are used to having no competition. Afroman just handed a masterclass in turning a police raid into a revenue stream. After the cops tossed his house, he used the security footage to make music videos and started selling lemon pound cake merch based on the snacks they ate during the search. He won the legal battle and proved that sometimes the best way to handle a traumatic overreach of power is to just monetize the hell out of it. That's the briefing for Friday. Go enjoy your weekend. Maybe do some 4-7-8 breathing if the news cycle gets to be too much. I'll see you Monday.